so you can understand what we're talking about, the bread. So, you know, I've never thought about it that one could have a big discussion on table manners until I read an article in one of the online print. I was talking about the table manners for somebody, people, the invited guests for the queen, and they're coming, so they have all this long list. So I was looking, I was looking at it. There was one that said that, I think there's one particular point about everybody must stop eating the moment the queen stop eating. So they have this kind of, and again, there are some people that can never even come into the presence of the queen, that if they have been into prison before. But thank God for the too good to be true news, the gospel. That was what we read in the last transmission that was talking about whosoever, that is whosoever. So it doesn't matter what your history, what is it, whether you had history of conviction or something, you can come in. Whosoever covers all classes of people. So even for an ethnic kingdom like this, you know, some people are really cannot even have the opportunity, let alone to even adhere to the banquet rules, the dining rules, the table manners.
But you have to come to the table first before you can talk about the manners.
So I was thinking they said they sent the list, the table manners, the etiquette to the invited guests, to those who are qualified. So if for this it can happen in the earthly realm, the earthly kingdom, so we'll be able to use that to relate to what we were sharing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in which we have been discussing in the our past transmissions, the last two that we had, to know about the worthiness about it, to know about the open invitation and what comes after. So because you don't want to hit yourself to death. And that, if you want to remember the episodes in the wilderness, you know, it was actually God that provided the meat. But people hurt themselves to death. It's not about what the open invitation is not actually free, completely free like that. So if you don't really understand the things, you don't want to hit yourself to damnation, don't want to hit like that. So we'll continue about this table manners. So you really need to pay attention because there is more to the table manners than just where you hold the forks and where you place the knife.
Now, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, if you've been with us in the past few weeks or a few transmissions, you would notice that the reason why we are here today on this aspect that she's been talking about is because of the reality of the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at. It was that we actually began to look at Matthew 6:11. We've gone through some of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer in the light of the New Covenant. We are currently on where it talks about give us this day our daily bread, which is Matthew 6:11. And because of that, the Lord has led us to different dimensions of this bread. We've gone through past the bread, we've gone to break the bread. And then today, because of where we stopped in our last transmission, we are looking at table manners. And the reason we are doing this is because of this. Because it doesn't matter how much nutrient is in the bread, as long as we don't take it the way it should be taken, if we don't heat it the way it should be heating, even though the bread itself is all-encompassing in terms of the nutrients and what is present in the bread, it's possible to lose out on the benefit of the nutrient if it's not eaten the way it should be eaten. And that's the reason why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 28 downwards began to talk about the manner in which it should be eaten, so that we don't lose out on the benefit you're supposed to get from eating the bread. So eating the bread is not really the problem, as it were. It's how is the bread being heated? And that's the key thing. That's what we're looking at today. And then, please, if you're wondering what does it mean to eat the bread, please look for our last transmission. We'll be tied to break the bread. And the conclusion in the Holy Ghost is to say to feed on this bread of life is simply that you are proclaiming the death of the Lord till he comes. Our life is meant to be a continual proclamation. It doesn't matter what comes across your way. It doesn't matter what circumstance is coming knocking on your door. You should be a proclaimer, not of your church, or not of your denomination, not of your association, not of your connections. The proclamation that a child of God is meant to do continually is to proclaim the death of the Lord till it comes. Your circumstance needs to hear that. Your environment needs to hear that. Your situation needs to hear that. Your health in your body needs to hear that. Your daily experience needs to hear that. Your bank account needs to hear that. Proclaiming the death of the Lord till it comes. not other proclamations that people are busy with today. So let's go on from verse 28, which is where we stopped in our last transmission. And it says, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Can you please read?
But let a man examine himself.
Now let a man examine himself. Now again, he's talking
maybe
about.
Let me start from 27.
Yeah, you can start from verse 27. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Therefore, who have hello, world. We're back again, and today we'll be having that big discussions around the bread and the table manner. So the last have not been said of the bread, pass the bread, break the bread. And if you don't understand what we're talking about, then go to our heads with the 247 page or the YouTube page and look out for the transmissions on pass the bread and break the bread, so you can understand what we're talking about, the bread. So you know, I've never thought about it that one could have a big discussion on table manners until I read an article, and then I think one of the online print, I was talking about the table manners for somebody, people, the invited guests for the Queen, and they call me, so they have all this long list. So I was looking, I was looking at it. There was one that said that, I think there's one particular point about everybody must stop eating the moment the Queen stop eating. So they have this kind of, and again, there are some people that can never even come into the presence of the Queen, if they have been into prison before. But thank God for the too good to be true news, the gospel. There was what we read in the last transmission that was talking about whosoever, that is whosoever. So it doesn't matter what your history, what is it, whether you had history of conviction or something, you can come in. Those are the whosoever covers all classes of people.
All
so even for an ethnic kingdom like this, you know, some people are really cannot even have the opportunity, let alone to even adhere to the banquet rules, the dining rules, the table manners.
Because you have to come to the table first before you can talk about the manners.
So I was thinking they said they sent the list, the table manners, the etiquette to the invited guests, to those who are qualified. So if for this it can happen in the earthly realm, the earthly kingdom, so be able to use that to relate to what we were sharing in 1 Corinthians
chapter 11,
in which we have been discussing in the in our past transmissions, the last two that we had, to know about the worthiness, about it, to know about whosoever, the open invitation, and what comes after. So because you don't want to hit yourself to death. And that if you want to remember the episodes in the wilderness, you know, it was actually God that provided the meat where people hurt themselves to death. It's not about what the open invitation is not actually free, completely free like that. So if you don't really understand the things, you don't want to hit yourself to damnation, don't want to hit like that. So we'll continue about this table manners. So you really need to pay attention, because there is more to the table manners than just where you hold the forks and where you place the knife.
Now thank you. Thank you for that. You know, if you've been with us in the past few weeks or a few transmissions, you would notice that the reason why we are here today on this aspect that she's been talking about is because of the reality of the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at. It was we actually began to look at Matthew 6:11. We've gone through some of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer in the light of the New Covenant. We are currently on where it talks about give us this day our daily bread, which is Matthew 6:11. And because of that, the Lord has led us to different dimensions of this bread. We've gone through pass the bread, we've gone to break the bread. And then today, because of where we stopped in our last transmission, we are looking at table manners. And the reason we are doing this is because of this. Because it doesn't matter how much nutrient is in the bread, as long as we don't take it the way it should be taken, if we don't heat it the way it should be heating, even though the bread itself is all encompassing in terms of the nutrient and what is present in the bread, it's possible to lose out on the benefit of the nutrient if it's not eaten the way it should be eaten. And that's the reason why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 28 downwards began to talk about the manner in which it should be eaten, so that we don't lose out on the benefit you're supposed to get from eating the bread. So eating the bread is not really the problem, as it were. It's how is the bread being heated? And that's the key thing. That's what we're looking at today. And then, please, if you're wondering what does it mean to eat the bread, Please look for our last transmission. We'll be tied to break the bread. And the conclusion in the Holy Ghost is to say, to feed on this bread of life is simply that you are proclaiming the death of the Lord till He comes. Our life is meant to be a continual proclamation. It doesn't matter what comes across your way. It doesn't matter what circumstance is coming knocking on your door. You should be a proclaimer, not of your church, or not of your denomination, not of your association, not of your connections. The proclamation that a child of God is meant to do continually is to proclaim the death of the Lord till it comes. Your circumstance needs to hear that. Your environment needs to hear that. Your situation needs to hear that. Your health in your body needs to hear that. Your daily experience needs to hear that. Your bank account needs to hear that. Proclaiming the death of the Lord till it comes. Not other proclamations that people are busy with today. So let's go on from verse 28, which is where we stop in our last transmission. It says, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Can you please read?
But let a man examine himself.
Now, let a man examine himself. Now, again, he's talking
maybe
about...
Maybe we can start from 27.
Yeah, you can start from verse 27. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
So he brings up the word manner. He brings up the word in a way you should be eating. And then he said, there's a way. So we're introducing verse 27 to the reality of the way the bread should be eaten. That's why verse 27 is there. And it says, there's a worthy way to do it. There's an unworthy way to do it. And it says, if it's not done the right way, we can be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, again, the Bible says no scripture is of private interpretation. Can you see that? Nobody can say, well, this is what I think the scripture says. We have to allow the scripture to interpret itself, which means let it interpret in its own context. But before we leave verse 27 to verse 28, because verse 28 and verse 29 will help us to shed more light on verse 27. But there's one thing in verse 27 before we leave it. It says, being guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, you need to understand that in the law court, in the judicial system, you don't actually declare somebody guilty unless they've been tried with evidence. Now, the reason for that is they want to give them a fair hearing. That's why if you notice, when in a normal civilized world, I'm not talking about places where there's no, you know, people don't follow jungle justice. In a normal civilized country or environment, it doesn't matter whether somebody commits a crime. It doesn't matter whether they saw the person committing the crime. When the police will report, they will say suspected. They will say, we have a suspect in custody. Even though people saw him or they saw him or her commit the word atrocity, they will still keep insisting that we have a suspect. Until the person goes through to the judicial system and goes to court and there's an evidence and there's a judge that nails the person before they can say the person is what? Guilty. They don't say he's guilty right at the point of arresting the person. Now, before we can talk about somebody being guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord is somebody who has been exposed to the evidence. You see, the evidence in this case is somebody who has come to the table to feed. Can you see that? That's why we are saying the other time that it is whosoever. You don't even become guilty of what you've not been exposed to the evidence of. So that's why we know it's talking about being exposed to the evidence of what the death of and the resurrection of Jesus symbolized by the breaking of the bread, which is of his body. So we see this. It's about somebody being exposed to the evidence. But again, let's go to verse 28, which is where we begin to get more light on what verse 27 is all about table manners when it comes to feeding or eating the bread, which is the body of Christ Jesus. Now, what does verse 28 say, please?
But let a man examine himself.
Let a man examine. Okay, good.
And so let him eat of the bread.
And what?
And drink of the cup.
Now, this is where some people get confused about this. And these people that come up with a doctrine of simply saying that unless somebody is holy or perfect in their life, or they've done everything correctly and accurately in their daily life, they have no right to come to the table to feed on the bread of life. Most people that come up with such doctrine in terms of denominations and ministries, this is one of the verses that they use to actually come up with such notion. But is that really what the scripture says? That's what we'll knock out series on prayer. Is that what it actually says? Now, again, if you interpret this verse 28 to mean that unless you qualify, you cannot come to the table, that will contradict verse 27 that says, whosoever. Can you see? Verse 27 gives the ticket to anyone to come to the table. And if you're in the last transmission, we said even Judas was invited to the table. He actually partook of that Lord's Supper. So if you think that this verse 28 was supposed to be a qualification test for whether you qualify to come to what? To the table. That would contradict verse 27. So what is verse 28 talking about then? Let every man what? Examine himself. Anytime you as a Christian, or anytime you hear the word examine yourself, what picture comes to your mind? Are you thinking in the light of the old covenant? Are you thinking in the light of the new covenant? Of course, examine yourself in the light of the old covenant means look towards your actions and look towards your what, your conduct. Is that what it says in the new covenant? Let the scripture interpret what? Scripture. Can you go quickly to 2 Corinthians 13? Now, how do you examine yourself? Can you see the first thing we see about this table manners is when you get to the table, the very first thing they ask you to do is to examine what? Yourself. This is the table manner like you talked about the other time. You said the queen, they will send a letter to people and say, these are the things you need to do. These are the things you need to follow. Where the Apostle Paul said, if you're going to come to this table and eat this bread, as soon as you arrive at the table, the first thing you have to do is what? Examine yourself.
So it seems like this examination is at the table.
It says when whosoever can come to the table, but when you land on the table, start first, examine yourself. These are the table etiquette.
But I think by the way people interpreted it, so the baby, the way they read it, is about, first of all, examining themselves. And so in that, their own self-examination, they did not even accept the open invitation of coming.
That makes sense. It means people that are thinking that the examination is to, do you qualify to come to the table?
That is how people do interpret. Most people do interpret that way.
Yeah.
So they'll start the examination. So they're going to read 28 before 27.
Yeah, putting 28 before 27.
Verse 28 before 27. Mm. So they will sit back and first of all doing the examination. And so by the time they come home with the results themselves, they feel they cannot accept the invitation.
That's true.
They cannot accept the invitation, so they don't.
So it's like putting the horse before the cat.
So they are reading 28 before 27. That is the thing.
From what you're saying, it would sound to me that, I mean, you've struck a very, very serious chord there, because it says in verse 28, it said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him what?
Eat.
It sounds to me that the examination was the manner of eating.
Yes.
Not whether you're going to eat or not. It's, I will tell you how you should do the eat. It says, so let him eat.
So, but we can see again that the examination is at that table.
Yeah, it's at the table. It's how you do the eating.
Yes, it's at the table, because the venue was really, we really must be clear about the venue of this examination. Fine. Because some people might be hearing us and maybe they had the last transcription and say, oh, we are against the examination. These are people that really, we are really unruly. They are really, don't want to do things properly. And so they felt like maybe we are against the examination. But because we are just going to follow the scripture as it is, we have to start with 27 before 28. And so that's because some really want to run because they have made themselves the examining officer. Some people are really, they are starting to examine for other people. It's such a shame that people are not even examining for themselves. There are some people that are working like an examination officer.
To examine people.
For others. So instead of aligning the scripture,
so let them examine.
Each person examine himself. Some people assume the role of examination officer for other people.
In the kingdom, exam officer.
To see who. And so you can see those people will be very, very guilty of this particular verse of running to 28 because they have assumed a role that is not their home. So they really want to, they will not be able to, 27 is the blind spot for them. They can't see 27 because they have assumed the role that the Lord has not called them to be an examination officer. And so they are so eager to give the result for those here and this. But we need to really settle the clarity of the venue for this examination. It's all clear that we're doing the examination. So everybody must examine. And then the second point is like the venue of that examination is at the table.
Yeah,
it's not before the table. Then again, we can see for those people who are becoming examiner officer over other people's life to see that let every man is an individual duty. So there is no presiding officer, there's no denominational head somebody in charge to do the examination for you, so it is let everyone. I hope that people are coming into this spiritual correction, because the Lord has made us the able ministers of the New Testament. This is not title, it's not by title, it's by responsibility. So we need to understand this. This is the New Testament.
Now, please, if you're watching this and you're wondering, I mean, are we doing a discourse on communion? Not at all. Not at all. Please, it's not at all, and this is the reason. The reason for that is, they would notice that we made mention of something in the last transmission, that the scriptures, I mean, when Christ speaks, and even the apostles, they convey spiritual realities by using natural situations. For example, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says that you are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. It doesn't mean that the Word of God is like a corn seed. I mean, he just trying to tell you that. Do you understand how seeds work in the natural? If you understand how the farmer plants the seed and it grows up and gives you a new life, which is a new plant, that's how the Word of God can be planted in your heart. Mm-hmm. And it grows. So the Bible always uses this kind of terminology.
I agree.
So our focus, as it were, it doesn't matter whether you believe this or not, but the reality is, because you believe in the Lord Jesus and you are declaring the death of the Lord till he what?
Comes,
you are feeding on the bread. It doesn't matter whether you go to mass. We are more interested in the spiritual reality. So the Apostle Paul is also communicating a spiritual reality, but trying to use the type and shadow of what they were involved in to show them the reality. So in a way, you can put it this way. Paul thinks that if somebody doesn't eat the bread in a worthy manner, naturally speaking, it would mean they don't even understand the spiritual reality of what they are doing. And so don't get this, that we're actually concerned about or focus on the communion table in your place of worship. We are actually more focused on the spiritual reality of it, which is what the key thing is. So there's a way then. So if it is true that feeding on the bread is proclaiming the death of the Lord till he comes, it would mean then that if somebody is not doing it in a worthy manner, that means there's a way you have to proclaim the death of the Lord till it comes. There's a manner to it. That, so you see, focus on the spiritual reality of what we are discussing. Now, you want to say one or two things there?
No.
Okay, now, so again, there's a word we cannot seem to actually shrug off, which is the word, let a man what? Examine himself. And I think that word examine himself has become, I don't know what else you call it, a stepping stone for some and a stumbling block for others. The word examine himself. But we need to depend on the Holy Ghost pointing to our scriptures to see what does it mean for somebody in the new covenant to examine themselves. If this is a table manner, that must be observed at the table. Can you see that? Can you read that, please? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. What does it say then, please?
Okay, examine yourself.
Now again, the same word, examine yourself. Now, if you're looking for the Greek word, it's the word dokimazo. That's what it is. Examine yourself. If you have a concordance, you can check that out. Now, it says examine yourself. So it's the exact word that was used in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. So the reason we're going to 2 Corinthians 13, 5 is to shed more light on what the examine yourself of 1 Corinthians 11, 28 is saying. So can you read that, please? 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourself, huh?
As to whether
okay. You're
in the faith.
So he's talking to Christians. You know, anytime people say that, examine yourself as to whether you're still in the faith. Now, the picture that comes to mind, any year people say that, let me see, have I crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's? Have I done everything exactly in a way that I can be approved before God, so that God can fully what? Accept me? Have I met all the demands of God and all that? That's what we start thinking. Examine yourself, I mean, whether you're still being the faith. When people say that, that's the kind of common picture that comes to mind. But let's see what the Holy Ghost has to say about this. Whether you're still in the what?
In the faith.
In the faith. Now, what's the next thing that it says? Then?
Test yourselves.
Oh, test yourself. Again, examine yourself. Go on, please.
Do you not know yourselves?
It means. It's saying that if this is, you know, one time you do a test or an examination, how do you know if you've done the examination right? If you've done all the questions correctly, then we should see you passing the test. If you did all the questions wrongly, or you didn't meet up the cutoff mark or the pass mark, then you failed the test. I mean, so the Apostle Paul is going to tell them, how do you know if you did the test right or not? It says, examining yourself. if you're still in the faith, they said, test yourselves. And then he's going to tell them, how do you know if you did well or you flunked the test? See what he said next.
Do you not know yourselves?
Do you not know
that Jesus Christ is in you?
Okay. Now, that doesn't really sound like your way people interpret the examine yourself. You see, most people, when we say examining yourself, we don't see Christ now. What we see is ourselves. Now, this is a bit of a contradiction. I'm not sure if you see the contradiction of what the Apostle Paul is trying to pass across to us. How can you ask Christians to examine what? Themselves, and simultaneously, they are going to see who? Christ. I thought if you're going to examine yourself, you should see yourself. I'll say that slowly again. I thought if you're going to examine yourself, you should look at yourself. But the Holy Ghost says, examine yourself in the new covenant is to see somebody else. Mm-hmm. See, this is where, like we said, and Nathaniel, you mentioned that the other time. You said we are not ministers of the what? Old covenant. Able ministers of the new covenant. Again, I call your attention to where Jesus said if you put new wine in old wineskin, it will burst. Now, as a Christian, you cannot afford to relate with the Father who has enacted a new covenant in the blood of Jesus, and you're relating him with him as somebody who is still under the blood of bulls and goats. And this is the reason why there's a lot of confusion in so many Christians' lives, because we are trying to merge two covenants that cannot work, and it's causing confusion for us. In the new covenant, anytime you're called to self-examination, you're not supposed to see yourself. See what it says? It says, test yourselves. Do you not know? Can you see? That Christ what dwells in you. So I can come to a conclusion that says every time you do the examination, if you did it correctly, you should see Christ and not you. If you're seeing yourself, you've done the questions wrong. That's why he told them on how to know whether you passed the test or you failed the test. If you do the test, how do you know you did the test rightly? You should have seen what? Christ. And that's what this self-examination thing is. I know it's a bit confusing when it says examine yourself, but that's what it meant in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, blessed be God for bringing this clarity, because I think most people do fail on the table. That is for those people who actually even come to the table at first, who really come and want to do the examination, who know that it is their own personal responsibility and not using machinery. Because some people are using machinery, who is doing it for them. So some people have crossed those two hurdles. They really understood that the examination is at the table, and they know it is their own personal responsibility. They are not just going to give this, they are not going to give it offshore to someone else to do. But then they don't even understand the exam paper. That is the exam question is about seek Christ. Go and look for Christ. Look, where is Christ? Is Christ
when you look at yourself, you should see not yourself, you see Christ.
Well, if they do not understand that, you know, you're just not understanding the question, what the examination is all about. Because the examination, they begin to read a different question to that. The question is Christ not in you? Where is Christ? Yeah. But if they are looking at themselves, that means they have a different question paper, or they don't really understand what the question paper is, and that is like, that's complete failure for it. Because when the people really know they should do an exam, some are even able to understand that they need to do the exam and they need to do it for themselves. They are really being faithful. They are not going to use machinery. They don't want any other examiner officer to sit for them for this examination. They are ready to do it themselves. But yet, they got the question paper. They do not understand what the question paper is. And they are already failed at the table.
Oh, God. Do you know the irony of this? Is that when most people are invited to the table, the major instruction that they give to them is to say, can you examine yourself and see whether you qualify to partake of this what table? And they tell people, can you think about what you did yesterday? Can you think about how you spoke with your wife, how you spoke? Now, please, we're not encouraging
lawlessness.
We're not saying you can leave anyhow. Of course, if you've watched our Prodigal Father series many weeks ago, we've talked about the
influence,
the consequences on our conscience. Even when we do the wrong thing, it actually defies our conscience. That's it. That's why you cannot afford. The Bible talks about some people whose conscience is seared with all iron. Your conscience is violated every time you go against your true nature in Christ Jesus. You are God's righteousness. Anytime you violate that righteousness, not just the fact that you've done something wrong, your conscience is polluted. We'll talk about that. But you can listen to the previous transmission. But what we are simply saying is, every time you're called to examine yourself, you're not supposed to look at yourself. Again, can you see? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, an examination of yourself is to look at who is in you. I mean, who becomes your righteousness? Who becomes your holiness? Who is your perfection? Who is your purity? Who is your goodness? Can you see? Who is your true nature? Who is your true character? He said, what do you see at the table? Are you seeing yourself? Or are you seeing what? Christ. And he says, the first table manner is, anytime you come to the table, examination. What do you see at the table? Do you see yourself or do you see what? Christ. Now, you know, this is the very first thing he's talking about. But when most people talk about this, instead of giving people the liberty to see Christ in themselves at the table, they encourage people to see themselves at the table. And the whole point is defeated. It means the table manner, the very first principles of table manner is actually defeated right there at the table.
In other words, it's like if you hear, examine yourself, the thing you should hear is Christ in you.
Is Christ in you or not?
That is it. And
then yes
you,
or no?
You really need to understand that, and you don't allow people to misinterpret that. And bringing you to yourselves and generating some questions out of that. Examination yourself is like, some people have a list of questions, like a questionnaire. They have developed, based on their own misinterpretation of what the examine yourself is. So you are going through those questions. Well, what did you do last night? What did you do last month?
Have you filled all the quota? I mean, have you evangelized long enough? How many souls have you won to the Lord in this year? Or how many lives have you actually converted and all these things, and we begin to have a report sheet.
Yes, and it's not that those things are bad.
They
are good, but in the light of examining yourself, that was not the question. That is what we're after. So hopefully people are hearing us well, they're hearing the writing. Not that those questions that the other people were asking, which people have misinterpreted that verse through, but it was not the question. That is the thing for the examination at the table. So it might serve some other purposes, but it was not, you know, just like doing a different exam. That is bringing a different examination exam question. That is the thing. So the fact that the exam, the question paper was right or not, that's not what we're talking and debating here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the legitimacy of it, whether this question is right or fair. Mm-hmm. But for this table, the table of the Lord, the examination yourself, that is not a question. So every good intentioned questions that have been developed, have been used to interpret this, we are going to discard it, we are knocking it out, so that we get the right interpretation of this question. Those questions that we have, all those questionnaires, all these follow-up questions and survey questions that people have used and substituted the word of examination of ourselves, seeing Christ in us, because Christ is in us, and they have used those good intentional questions to displace that of Christ and defeat the purpose of the communion. We are discarding that in the light of it. It might have a place in another place.
It definitely has a place.
It has a place, but not at the table of the communion table. And that is it.
Thank you for that. You know, when you were talking about doing the wrong question, that reminds me of a particular thing. I think, I'm not sure, some years ago when I heard about this, where somebody said a student was given a question to write about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the question I was given the exam. And he said, well, who am I to write? And that was the question on the question paper. I know it might sound a bit fictional. I'm not saying it actually happened, but it was a kind of joke. And somebody said, well, the student said, how can I write about my Lord Jesus on the question paper? I'd rather write about Apostle Peter.
John the Baptist or somebody.
And then he created his own question and answered it.
Yeah.
That's what some Christians are doing with 1 Corinthians 11, 28-29. Can you see that? We create...
Some are doing it for them. Some actually...
Yeah, some do it for us. We create our own question. All he asks you is to say, examine yourself. Now, it's just for example, if you're in a room, this is the picture I have now. If you're in a room and there's a chair in the midst of the room or a table in the midst of the room, and somebody says, can you examine that room? Is there a chair inside that room or not? That was the question. All you need to say is, oh, I can see a chair in the room, or I can't see the chair in the room. That should be the answer to the exam question. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, if the scripture asks you, table manners at the table, examine what? Yourself. Can I have the question? The question is Christ in you or not? Yes or no? That's the question. Don't create a new question by trying to create a questionnaire, like you said, about the fact that, have I done enough to satisfy God's favor? upon my life or God's demand? That's not the question. So let's stick to the question.
Yeah, the bottom line is for us to really understand and interpret the scripture for ourselves. No matter what people are saying, no matter good intention that people might want to bring interpretation, because some people really, they don't really see a wrong doctrine as long as it's not bad. You know, they don't understand that some things that are good, good instructions and everything might be wrong. So the fact that it wasn't wrong, that it doesn't sound wrong, it makes it sensible, does not mean it is New Testament. That is the thing, because they feel, oh, are these questions wrong in themselves? All those questions of checking yourself, did you evangelize? They are not wrong. They are not bad. They are good things for people to aspire to. They are good things that to encourage to people to aspire to. But for the table, it is the wrong question. That is the thing, and that is why we just have to understand the scriptures ourselves. We don't allow people that are really well-meaning to help us interpret good intention and take us out of the grace of God, take us out of the New Testament by their good intention. Where they meant well, but they are well meaning. We need to understand and go to the scriptures ourselves. And most so again, maybe because of the familiarity, we already know what 1 Corinthians 11 is all about. So people are just jumping off. Their problem is jumping off to 28, forgetting 27, jumping off to some verses that really, really appeal to them. There are some verses that call out to them and energize them. And so they are going to shrug away some of the some verses before that they thought nothing about it. And if we do like that, if we don't come with humility, come about step by step, precept by precept, we are going to miss. So and it makes a whole lot of difference. All those small words like whoever, whosoever, all those things make
so important.
They make a lot of difference, because some people might actually read verse 28 and say examine yourself, but they don't know the interpretation of what examine yourself means. Because in that same verse we say what is examination yourself, the Lord did not leave us hanging to try to fill in that what examine yourself meant.
You go to 13:5 to tell you
that what examine yourself, what it meant. But some people just examine yourself, that's the key word. They're just going to run over words.
I think what you're saying is, if it says examine yourself, the question should have been, what is the exam question? They assume they know the exam question.
Yes, they feel like that's the real one. I've gotten that. I don't need to know what the interpretation of examine yourself is. Oh, that's the one. They're just going to run off in a hurry.
Anyway, well, if somebody asks me something and says, examine, if I'm in college or university and somebody says, we need to do self-examination today, I'm going to ask them, what's the question? What question should I use to what? Examine myself. I mean, and I think most people who actually fall into this misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 11:29 is because people are not asking what's the exam question. That's why 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us the exam question.
But you know, people that are falling into such error are people that really they feel they have the understanding of it. Because actually you really have to be screwing the way. Okay, if it says self-examination, you're ready, they're knowledgeable. So it's people that are really ignorant will not fall into that kind of error. Because they don't really know anything.
What the exam
really
question is.
They have to go back to scriptures. They're going to look for that. Their search will lead them to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Those who are non-knowledgeable and they're asking the scriptures. But people that really have understanding, or you already been schooling law or something, they have some interpretation, preconceived way of thinking about some things. They're really going to run off. It will take the grace of God for them to accept to be going to scriptures and let scriptures again interpret themselves. People that already have the mind of what examination ought to be, they already are setting questions for others. So definitely, they might miss those salient points.
Thank you for that. Thank you for all those insights you've given us. God bless you. Now you see, verse 28 says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Now, it means, he's saying that by the time you're eating, I want you to see nothing but what? Christ in you. I mean, if we're gonna drag 2 Corinthians 13:5 into 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, it means as you're eating at the table, I want you to see nothing of yourself. All I want you to see is Christ. It means as you're proclaiming the death of the Lord till he comes, I want your eating at the Lord's table. Now, this is the way to look at it. Anytime you come to the communion table, anytime you come to eat of the bread and what drink of the blood, I want you to do it in the understanding of what it is practically. So practically, eating and drinking is for me to say, I see nothing but Christ in me. I see nothing but Christ in me. This is your self-examination. I see nothing but Christ in me. Now, this is the point. It would mean that if the enemy then wants to come at you with condemnation and say, this is the reason why you don't qualify for the blessings of God in your life. In fact, there are some of you who are listening to this today. Some of you might be in this situation. Things might be working well for you, or you're already enjoying some benefits of God's goodness in your life. And something is telling you, one of these days something will go wrong. And it says, you know the reason why? You know, that thing that you did wrong, you see, that thing, God is not fully happy with you. God is not fully on your side because of this and because of that. And the enemy comes at you. Well, the Bible says, if you are feeding on the bread and you are proclaiming the death of the Lord till he comes, you should be seeing nothing but Christ. You should do self-examination. And all that you should see is all about Christ. Everything you see, that your qualification before God should be all about Christ. Your acceptance before the Father should be all about Christ. Everything you see, you should see nothing of yourself. Nothing. If you're still seeing yourself, you're not observing the proper table manner. And that's what we see there. Now,
It is assuring to see that, I'm still going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13.
Oh, good.
Verse 5. We can see that it's so assuring that the Lord is making, through Apostle Paul, making us to understand that this exam is so easy. Nobody can fail it. It does that. Naturally, you shouldn't fail it. Unless Christ is not in you. That is it. Already, it's so comforting to know that if you want to even sit an exam and somebody say, unless Christ is not in you, that's when you can't be disqualified.
Mm.
As long as you have Christ in you, it's just as good.
You are qualified.
You have passed. That is why I can see in that 1 Corinthians 11, it says, examine and heat. So it means like almost everybody will pass it.
Mm.
Examine yourself and so eat.
So yeah, that's...
It's like the general outcome would be, unless Christ is not in you, if you are going to go back
if
to...
If Christ is not in you, that means you don't qualify. If Christ is in you, you qualify. How simple can that be?
So that is the thing.
But you know what people say?
You find that some people whose Christ is in them and they are not qualified.
That's the word I'm trying to say.
Because they do not his...
Some people, they say, well, Christ is in you, fine. But you know what? To actually qualify this and this and this and this and this and this,
we have other questions
in addition with the fact that Christ is in you, we make the question complicated.
So
it was a very simple question to start with.
We developed some questions.
Some questions.
And because of the sub questions, they failed those sub questions. So altogether,
of course, you would definitely fail those sub questions. You know why you failed them? nobody can pass sub questions.
And then you know because they are going to, it's going to be weighted up again and zoom that. So because there are so many sub questions in which they can, even though the first question was a pass. And because the other sub questions they fail on it, so it's altogether a failure. Whereas the simplicity of the gospel is just one question.
Is Christ is in you? Well, that's it. It's Christ in you, you are qualified.
I trust that you know that you're already qualified. You can see that you cannot be disqualified already.
So who actually
because
started?
It's talking to the Christians. Yeah, that is the thing.
Oh my God. So he says, this examination is that basic. And then, you see, this is serious because it would mean that we are the ones disqualifying ourselves
yes.
by adding sub questions to the main question.
Yes.
The main question was, is Christ in you? No, I don't want to hear nothing. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I think in chapter 1 or chapter 2, where it says, when I came among you to the Corinthian church, I came to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. That's the question. He says, Paul said, I reduce the whole thing to one thing. That's the question. Don't add to the question. If you have to see, Peter for one thing, Apostle Peter. You know, by the time there was so much this argument between whether they should allow the Jews and the Gentiles to be part of what? To benefit from the redemption of Christ Jesus. And they went to this, you know, this
in Jerusalem
and all that. And they had this convention, if you can use that word.
Yeah, they simplify everything. Yeah,
yeah, you know, there's one thing that
just
Peter...
Just like the UN Human Rights Convention.
There's one thing that Peter said, and I said, wow. I mean, he said, he told the Jews why they should accept the Gentiles and why they should not block them from partaking of what Christ did. But he said one thing. Peter said, you all know, he was talking to the Jews of his own. He said, you all know that all these things, even our fathers struggled to keep them. All the what? He said, Peter said, we all know that He said we couldn't even keep up with them. We know that. Why do we want to deceive ourselves? That's why I said the reason why we are disqualified is because we disqualify ourselves by adding sub-questions to a very simple question.
It's Christ in
you. You can enter with boldness. Everything the Father has is yours. You can come with boldness before the throne of grace. You can say, well, I'm so bold. And somebody says, why are you so bold? Well, you can say, sorry. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now
no
condemnation for those who are in what? In Christ. For those that see Christ in them. I mean, there's now therefore. There's nothing else attached to you. You can. That's why some people that you might be hearing this today, and you might notice that some of the things that are damaging your confidence when you pray or you're asking the Father for something. I'm not talking about being bold-faced or just being trying to use a form of being bold-faced. I'm talking about the spiritual boldness. The reason why some Christians today are not bold, if you ask them, are you sure that God will answer your prayer? Or are you sure that you will definitely receive what you ask for? Are you sure that you cannot be rejected from what you are demanding for? The reason why some are not too bold to say, it's going to say, well, I think...
looking at myself.
The scripture says there's only one question to know you're qualified or not. Is Christ in you?
Yes, Christ in you.
Or no? And it says when you come to the table to feed on this bread we've been talking about from pass the bread to break the bread. That was our last two transmissions. If you come to feed on this bread, the scripture wants to know, have you done the examination and have you passed the test? It says so heat. If you pass the test, so heat. So now it means, now verse 27 will start to make sense then. How somebody can drink and eat unworthily.
Yeah.
It means you are. If somebody comes and they examine themselves and they fail the test, or they are disqualified and they are eating the bread, you know what happens? They are eating the bread in what? An unworthy manner. Which means they are feeding on the bread physically speaking, but actually the reality, the spiritual reality of what the feeding stands for, they flung that test. And that's why it says, this thing must be eaten in what? In a worthy what?
Manner.
You see that? That's what we see there.
I think verse 29.
Verse 29, please. Yes, please.
Verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 11.
Yes, please.
For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner.
So you should know what the unworthy stands for now. It means somebody's eating and drinking, but yet they're actually not taking an examination. Okay? They're not seeing Christ in the picture in them. So go on, please.
For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself.
Okay.
Not discerning the Lord's body.
Which means not understanding the reality of the body that was what? Broken.
Yeah.
The reality. What's the reality? He says, anytime you feed on the bread, verse 20, I haven't read this verse 26.
Yes, proclaim.
What are you proclaiming? Can you see that?
Because the bread, the physical bread that they are eating, it is just a shadow. The reality is that the proclamation.
You are proclaiming.
So you must have the understanding of what it stands for. And that is the proclamation. That's
of the not proclaiming.
That's the discernment. You must have the discernment of that.
The proclamation of the death of the Lord till it comes. That's why we said a believer must be a proclaimer, must be a declarer. That's what you're supposed to keep declaring, keep proclaiming. And say somebody comes to the table and they are just eating, and they don't even understand they are eating is actually meant to what is a declaration, a proclamation of the death of the Lord till he comes. So if they do that, it says they can what? Drink damnation. Now, you see, you want to say one or two
things? Yes, because that verse 21, my our viewers, if they remember the last transmission where we started in this First Corinthians,
yes,
he was talking about people that do not discern the body. They were just thinking it's just physical bread.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come to the table, some hungry, some they're doing anyhow because they thought it was all about the bread. Because there was no discernment there to know that there's a spiritual significance that is higher than the physical nutritional value of this what this bread can do. And that's why they were just eating as if they're feasting. Some are just doing anyhow with the physical bread, not knowing that it has a higher significance of the proclamation of. So you cannot attack it. You cannot attack the table. You cannot attack the bread without understanding what the significance. And that is non-discerning.
So it means, thank you for that. It means, as a believer, you could look at yourself and simply say, am I eating the bread and drinking the blood in a worthy manner? Now, you don't even have to come to the communion table to ask that question. Like we said, a communion is just a natural reenactment of a spiritual fact. So the question is, are you observing table manners? And the question is, are you eating the bread and drinking the blood in a worthy manner? How would you know that? Well, it says, for you to know that, are you discerning what the body of the Lord? So Christians have actually fed on the bread. They've actually drank the blood, because Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no what life in you. So it is safe to say in the Holy Ghost that if you have eternal life in you, you've actually taken a bite of the bread. But the question is, are you consistently feeding in the right manner? How do we know that? He says, proclaiming the death of the Lord till he comes is feeding on that bread. And it's simply saying that some people that are even feeding on the bread and consuming the bread are not doing it in a worthy manner. How do you know a Christian who is continually feeding on this bread in a worthy manner? How do you know? He says, are you discerning the body of the Lord? Are you understanding the implication of what took place on the body of Christ on the cross? This is where a lot of us are, in situations where on a consistent and continual basis, we are not discerning the body of the Lord. Are you judging? Are you coming to a conclusion and say, oh, I understand the reason why he was nailed to the cross. Oh, I understand the reason why he was crushed. I understand the reason why Isaiah chapter 52, 53 talks about the fact that his visage was marred beyond form. Oh, I understand the reality of why he was beaten on his body with stripes. Can you see that? I mean, 1 Peter 2:24 says, He said, who in himself bore our sins. That's 1 Peter 2:24. Who in himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That he's in his body on the tree. That we've been dead to sins. Should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were. I understand the reason why stripes came on his body. He said, can you discern? Can you come to that conclusion on a regular basis? He says, coming consistently with that understanding is simply you what? Eating the flesh and drinking the blood in a worthy manner. Because you are consistently discerning what? The body of the Lord. And that's what we see there. So it means the only remedy heaven has for you and I today, the only remedy God has for us in this life and the life to come, is to consistently feed on this bread and to drink this blood. And it says it must be done in a worthy manner. So it says the continually discerning the Lord's body. Understand the implication of that. Look at verse 30.
For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep.
The reason why, if you're listening to this today, you cannot take this kind of transmission with levity. You cannot even take it for granted. This is the reason. Verse 30 is the reason. He's saying that if you see anyone, it says, for this cause. That's serious. He said, this is the reason. And this is an explanation. You know, we are in a generation where people end up saying, well, if you see somebody going through a particular situation, or you see somebody struggling through a particular circumstance, they say, well, don't judge people and don't say that this is the reason why they are going through what they are going through. I mean, it could happen to anyone, and people say things like that. And I think that's in a way politically correct. But it seems that the Apostle Paul has lost all sense of political correctness, sorry if you want to use it that way, because Paul is saying, I have an explanation for why some of you are weak. I have an explanation for why some are what? Sick. He said, for this cause. I was supposed to say, I got the answer. No more in the dark now. I know why some of you believers are struggling. I know why some of you are disappointed. I know why some of you are discouraged. I know why some of you are confused in your life. I know why some of you are so down and depressed. I know why some of you are struggling every day. I know why some people even die before their time. Paul said there's an explanation for these things. These are not just random events happening to random people. It would sound to me then that in this world, it means there's a guarantee that this feeding of the bread in the right manner can give you as a Christian. Can you see why this is not such? We're not just here to just transmit because we want to while away the time, or because we are saying something that can guarantee an expected outcome in life. He says, for this cause. Can you see? What cause is that? Verse 29. Because people are not discerning the body of the Lord. He said, if it's not done, if we don't heed with the right etiquette, discerning the Lord's body, he says, for this cause, many are weak. Now you see, the conventional interpretation of this verse that most people do have is the fact that if you come to the table, the communion table now, using a natural explanation for the spiritual reality, people end up thinking the fact that if you eat the bread and you drink the blood and you have not confessed all your sins, then the Lord will strike you with what? Sickness or death. And they say, well, it's very dangerous for you if you're in this place today and you know there's something that you've not done right in your life and you eat these things, very dangerous. And people say all those kind of things. But it will sound to me that from verse 29, the only reason why it says for this cause in verse 30 is that he's saying that you didn't discern the body of the Lord in verse 29. And if you go back to verse 28, this discerning the body of the Lord in verse 28 talks about the fact that you didn't carry out the examination correctly. This got nothing to do with God striking anybody's death. You're the one doing the exam and you're the one discerning. And it says, if you don't do the exam correctly and you don't discern correctly, it says there are consequences. People get weak and sick and die. I will still throw more light on that if you have one or two things to say about
it. Yeah, this is a very serious matter because, you know, you might feel like this does not apply to you, but we know some people over the years because of the way the people have developed some questions for themselves. So people have not passed. They've never had the opportunity to.
Oh my God.
To break the bread at all because, you know.
To eat in a worthy manner.
So every time, because one of the sole questions they do not pass, the next time they have the opportunity. So you really need to you need to understand why. Because some people might feel, what does it really matter or something? And feel because you feel that you can pass a bit. And
it's
some,
important.
Yes, some will never even pass and will never have the opportunity this side of the eternity to even break the bread at all. Because
that's
of
a feeling in the word,
because
man.
Of all the questions. And that is why people need to be careful, people that form all these questions. That form these questions, the sub questions that misinterpret what this examination is. They really have to be careful because some people are so weak in understanding. Some people are so, let's say, spiritually challenged, disabled mentally, so that they don't really understand this and they are stuck. So they have lost every opportunity because of the complexity of what we interpret these scriptures into. And thank God for the example of Apostle Peter and Paul when they came to settle these things, because it could have torn everybody apart. Now we should abstain from blood and all those things and reduce it. That was the wisdom, to reduce it. If not, some people will not be able to partake of the grace. And so it is our responsibility as the able ministers of God to make things, people to be able to assess. So we will not complicate and bring things there all in the because of our well-meaning or our good intention, and bring things into these things that complicate and take people out of the grace and block people out and block people from even enjoying. Because some people, like we said today, that people can understand this, people know, some people can live in the conscious discernment. They don't even need to come to the table, to the breaking of the bread physically, but they are living their life in
the
conscious.
The death of the Lord till it comes.
Some people, it's only when they come at the table, there is a reminder for
opportunity
them. Opportunity for them
to have that consciousness.
To have the consciousness of the proclaiming. So they have the opportunity of the proclaiming. But if we are, because of our own introduction, of our own becoming the examining officer, we have used that and we have complicate matters for people and have at least excluded people from this, and so they've lost the opportunity for them to proclaim. They've lost the opportunity of what is the purpose. So we really have to look at this and look about how these things have for some weak brethren, some people that they cannot even interpret themselves.
Oh my God.
And that is the thing.
Now I think let's get a bit more practical about this so that our viewers can get what the Lord is trying to pass across to us today. Now you see, different types of food have different types of nutrients. I'm talking naturally now. Carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins, minerals. You know, all these different types of food with different types of nutrients that have different purposes in the human body, right?
Yes.
Now, if somebody decides not to heat in the right manner. In fact, I do understand, you can correct me if you think it's not accurate, that when children are eating, or probably adults, people that eat, you know, quickly, or they rush when they are eating, or the way they eat, there are times they eat, so they normally say that the food doesn't have enough, you know, the digestion process can be actually compromised.
Yes,
the way people eat. I mean, some people don't masticate the food or crush the food, you know, well, and they just swallow like that. And then at times, when they go to, you know, the food doesn't have enough room to be able to get digested. Am I right?
I'm just thinking for time. I want to save this analogy for our next transmission.
Okay,
so
okay, okay.
For, because of time. So just okay. Like in a minute, we do want to...
Okay, in a nutshell, what I'm trying to say is, the way and manner people eat, and then if the nutrient in that food doesn't go into our body system and then get digested properly, we don't get access to the nutrients.
Yeah.
And if we don't get access to nutrients, it means then there are times that the body struggles to fight off somewhat diseases because we've not received the benefit of nutrients in the food to build up our body against such situations that will probably attack our body. Here the Bible is simply saying that when you see people who are weak, sick, and are what? Dying. Could it not mean the Apostle Paul is saying that for this cause, people who have not what? Hitting the what? The bread in a worthy manner. Those who are not discerning the body. And Paul said, you are wondering why some of you are, many of you are weak and sick and what? Are dying and sleeping. You're wondering why there are things happening in your life. You're wondering why things are not the way they should be. You're wondering why you're not reaping the benefit of the redemption that Christ brought to what? To humanity. So could it be that you're not feeding in the right manner? And I think we will actually shed more light on this in the next.
Yes, from verse 30 was going to be our next talking point next time. And we can see from this transmission that our wellness, our strength, our life is tied to understanding this thing.
Eating the right manner.
The table manner. So our wellness, our strength, because it's said for many are weak, sick, and many are stable for this cause. So this table manner is so important if you want to stay alive, if you want to be well, if you want to have strength. So we want to encourage you to join us for our next transmission as we continue on this, and I'm sure you will want to join us. So please feel free to share this, feel free to leave this truth. So to receive for the next transmission, we want to say, please observe your table manners. Okay, it's very important. So that you can stay alive, you can stay strong, and you can be well.
Amen.
So bye.
Bye.